In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So, خلينا ناخد لفة الأول. So for tonight, the topic. I think the only one who can understand what exactly I'm going to do is Fadi. يعني. He knows my. I have some strategy while I'm presenting. So the first thing I need to know, what's the topic about. So in order to make sure that we are on the same page and personally understand the topic. So this is one. So the topic is about what exactly? Yes. Huh? History of the church. Anything else? So this is the topic. Yep. Do you remember what exactly the wording of the topic? No? Yes, open the Facebook. And sorry? So history of the church, real or legend? So I understand history. I understand church. Well, so history of the church, it can be 20 centuries and can be one century. So I need to define exactly which part we are going to talk. Fair enough? So this is the history of the church. Real or A? Real, understand the word. Legend, I don't understand the word. So can you help me in the understanding the word? Legend? كلمة صعبة. I'm not familiar with this hard vocab. Real. Legend is what? I don't know. I'm asking. So we need to make sure if all the legend, يعني soccer, يبقى إحنا عارفين إنها soccer. So whatever you are going to agree, so I need to make sure that we are talking the same thing.
A story that's passed down.
The legend. Story
that is passed down.
Any passed down.
Like from generation to generation.
Type. Okay. Do you agree on this definition? Yes, and so what does it mean, real and a legend? What's the difference between the two? The history of the church, real or legend? Okay, so what do you understand from? Mille اختار topic there. So what do you understand from this?
I think legend implies that it could be mythical, or it could be.
لا mythical بعد legend حرام عليك. So يعني.
Legend implies that it's like maybe not. It could not be all facts, or it's not maybe written, or. Yeah.
Historically
accurate. So it's not accurate. So is it real or legend? Means that is it accurate or not accurate? Okay, so this is good to understand and this is the topic for tonight. Okay, excellent. So the history of the church, as we are celebrating today, a great father of the church, Baba
Athanasius.
Well, it's not the resurrection for the Athanasius. So most probably, we are going to talk about as we are going to define the history of the church. So the history till the 5th century. So the first 5 centuries of the church. So this is the first part of the topic. And the second part, real or... You said something nice. Real or what? Yeah? What we agree upon? Accurate. Is it accurate? Yes, okay. So this is what we are going to discuss tonight. Taib. So let's see what's going on. History of the church. From where we need to start? It seems as we are talking about history, the main thing about the first 5 centuries is what? The councils, most probably. And especially if we are talking about Saint Athanasius, so I'm talking about... So I'm going to use one of the papers, which is good. At least I'm going to use something. Okay. So... History of the church. We'll start the first council.
Nicaea.
La. Next. La. Jerusalem. It was around which year? Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalem. شوية كده فوق يعني. طيب. طيب we'll say around 50. What happened? Zakajou. How are you? What happened and why we had this Council of Jerusalem? What does it mean we have a council? That we as a group, we have a very important thing that we disagree upon, and then we'll sit together and we'll decide upon something. So for the choir, for example, we have a meeting because we have many ideas, and then we'll decide after the meeting, this is what we are going to present. So council, this is the meaning of the council. Any clue about Jerusalem, what happened? So 50s, this is the real start of anything. What happened? Yani, why they need to sit together and to think about anything? Any clue? Nothing? Type. Yes.
I think to be Christian, to be Jews first and Christian, or just go dark.
So this was the problem of St. Paul. St. Paul went to Gentiles. And then when he went to Gentiles, his idea, so Gentiles, Christianity, so we don't have to path through the Jews thing. And then they said, no, you have to, and then they had this council, and it was St. James, and they decided upon this council, no, we are going, the Gentiles, you don't have to be Jews first and then to be Christians. No, you can be directly Christians, but avoid some things. And this was the first known council in the history of the church. A decent one. They all get together. They had many point of views. So council means that I have my point of view, I have your point of view, and so on. But we sit together and we agree on something, and this is what happened. Excellent. A very nice, a decent thing, democracy and everything within the apostles. So it's a good example. Although I have one comment, I will say it if I remember it after a few minutes. A second important incident happened. You know who was the bishop of Smyrna? It's a famous martyr. Polycarp. So Polycarp, at around the year 100 something, 103, 104, 105, so there was an important issue. So it was about the Feast of the Resurrection. And at that time, the Asian part, they were celebrating the Feast of the Resurrection on the day of 14th of Nisan. So is it Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday? It was 14th of Nisan. Because actually, in the history, the resurrection happened at that time. And then he went. Polycarp was the disciple of St. John, the beloved. So he went and visited the bishop of Rome at that time, and they discussed the thing. So I have a date, and you have a date, what we are going to do. So it was not a council, but two point of views at that time in the church, and they decided to a very important sentence. They agree to...
My lips are...
They agree to disagree. Yes, to disagree. So we'll continue as is. So this is my point of view. This is your point of view. Well, so we are going... They agree upon this. We are not going to change anything. You will not change. We will not change. And we are happy. You are happy. And so what's the difference between the two concepts? Can we agree on to disagree? Or we have always to have one point of view. Lala, I need an answer. Huh? We have two point of views right now. So council, so one point of view, and then two great saints of the church and pillars of the church, they agree to disagree. Huh? Depends on what?
The topic they are discussing. On the topic they are discussing. So the date of the Easter is something that they can negotiate, but for the first council, they were discussing like an important thing for the Jews and the Christianity. So I
totally agree on this point of view. Yes, there are things we can accept, and we can accept different point of views. And there are other things, no, we cannot accept the different point of views. I think the one thing that we cannot accept different point of views is concerning the theology of the person. Actually, all the councils and all the heresies and everything till now, it's about the person of Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. So the people cannot understand things. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in the Father. They don't believe in the relationship. Anything. So this is what happened since day one till now until the end. This is under the theology thing. And this one, I think, will go more than into Jerusalem than on the Easter side. Nowadays we have, and you find this in Facebook. Are you Googling this one for me? No? Okay. So you find this, that they are talking about Easter, about Christmas, about dates, about things, and we have different point of views, and I think no one will say this is the absolute truth. And no one can say this is the absolute truth, by the way, in anything, because the absolute truth will be known when we see and we live with God. So I'm just wanting to differentiate between the two concepts. And then we'll go to the first council. What's the council of?
Nicaea.
In the year?
325.
So, Nicaea, 325. Council means that we have what? Problem. There is a problem. So because of this problem, so the bishops will get together and solve the problem. So council means that we have a problem. Any clue what was the problem at that time? 325. And the hero of this council is St. Athanasius. I will say it, yeah. So this is, yes.
Exactly. What? Say it? The Arian heresy.
And what was the Arian heresy?
I think Arian was saying how Jesus and God were not one.
Jesus and the Father.
Yes.
So this was the heresy. Again, all the heresies will be around the Holy Trinity. So either the Son, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the relation. So this is what eventually what Arius said, that, you know, he was begotten from the Father, so at certain time he was not there, so he started his heresy. Excellent. So this is a problem, but what is really we have to comment on this one? It was not his point of view. So he was from which city?
He was from Alexandria.
Alexandria, and it was around the year 300. 318. But the thing, it was not his idea. So he was not the one who innovated this idea. It was actually one called Lucian of Antioch, and he was around the year 200 something, 80, 90, something like this. So before Arian. So what happened exactly that at that time in Alexandria, this idea was there, and he believed in this one, but he started to spread it. And then the Pope, Alexandrius at that time, the Pope before the Pope Athanasius, and he said, no, we cannot agree on this one. But the critical thing about it, we have at that time, the persecution era was done, and then we had an emperor whose name was after Diocletian.
Yes. Constantine.
We had at that time, before him, we have four emperors, a great and great and minor. But at that time of Constantine the Great, he came and he was the emperor of all the regions. And then, if you are new and you have a dispute in one, and he started to say, you know, Christianity will be the religion of my emperor, and so on. But the problem, he had a problem in Alexandria, not only Alexandria, but spread it to Antioch, and this region, I'm talking about, if you can know the map, so Alexandria, the Minor Asia, so this part. And it's not good for him as the leader of this huge country from Alexandria till Rome till, you know, it's this part of Europe and the Middle East. So what to do in order to have peace in his as an emperor? By the way, he was not Christian yet. So in order for him to have peace, he said, no, you know, I don't want any dispute, I don't want anything, I want peace. So let's gather the bishops and they decide. So his aim was a political aim. I cannot say he was after a Christian thing because he as at 325 even, he was not baptized. He wanted the peace in his kingdom. And it is good. And then he decided, let's gather everyone and decide. And he himself attended the council. And they describe how he came as a king, as a son of God, of anything, because son of God wasn't one of the names of the emperors, by the way. So there is an historical thing behind him going into the council and everything. And it was for within the council point of views and everyone, and then decided at the end we have the famous, what we call?
The Creed.
Nicene. So because this is not the full one, because they continued. So we have a creed, and this is very good. What happened after this? So this was in the year 325. Arius was not alone. He had a supporter, a bishop called Eusebius of Nicomedia. So he was his supporter. 327, they came back. They will not go to the details of the Nicaea, what happened. But I'm just want to go back to the real or legend. So I want to explain myself in this one at the end. So. 327, 2 years, they accepted back both Arius and Eusebius of Nicomedia. So they accepted them back in the church. But what happened, that the night before Arius will enter the church, he died. And he died, I mean, in a very bad way. And he was never accepted in the church. And if you can... read the story of St. Athanasius. It was Jesus Christ himself asked them not to accept him. So he was not accepted, although the emperor and everyone, they pushed for Eusebius and Arius to be accepted in the church. So this is a political thing. Although we had a very good outcome, which is the Nicene
Creed.
Thank you. 327... Eusebius was accepted in the church, and this Eusebius was the one at the end of the life of Constantine the Great, he was the one who gave him the baptism at the end of his life of Constantine. So this is to understand how things were going on. So we were in the year 325, and we have a creed in 325. And after the 325 thing, as you read the story of Saint Athanasius, he was exiled for many times. It was a tough time, I mean, for him, for the rest of his papacy, because there were people against him, and they were sympathized with Arius and all the thing. Type. Years passed, another 50 years. So we are in the year 325. If we add 50.
375.
Shwaya back, come on.
380.
181.
Yes,
thank you so much. 381, we add another council. Council of Constantinople. So in 381, yeah, in almost 50 some years, we have another council of Constantinople. Till the year 381, the creed they agreed upon in Nicaea was not used in the different church. So 381 was an opportunity, and then if we have a council, we have an emperor. At that time, the emperor was Theodosius I. So always there is an emperor behind a council, because we cannot ignore there is a political point of view around the council. Although there were some heresies, but again, it was always around the emperor. So we have different, in Constantinople, we have different heresies. And the main one was about the Holy Spirit and the quality of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the rest of the creed that we know now. We believe in the Holy Spirit at the end. But at that time, the capital was Rome. And then Theodosius the First, they built the new capital, which is Constantinople. And then one of the main aims of this council, yes, we have heretics and we have bishops, and they agreed upon something very positive, but also we cannot ignore that there was a political thing that they want to give the Patriarch of Constantinople an equality to the other bishops. So we have Bishop of Alexandria, Bishop of Rome, Antioch, and then they wanted to give, because it will be the new capital, so and they called after this the new Rome. So they want also to give the Bishop of Constantinople in the same level as the other bishops. So this was something important for the Emperor Theodosius. So 381. So we had Constantinople and we have the creed. 50 years after, this is the year 431. 381 + 50 = 431. ما هزتهاش انا هي جت بقى يعني كلهم 50s بس شويه 50 شويه يعني 325 381 and then we have 431 another council Ephesus and then we have an emperor Theodosius the second. In Ephesus we have the heresy of Nestorius, and then you know what's the famous word Theotokos, we use this to now Theotokos, Mother of God. And he said, no, we will not say Theotokos, but we'll say, yes, who said it? Fedi? Christotokos. So She gave birth to Christ, and then we'll see what happened after this. He became a god, anything, but she gave birth to a man, and this is, it was one of the heresies, and at that time it was the great Cyril of Alexandria who said, no, this is not right, and then we have this faith of the Theotokos, and they started officially to have the name of Theotokos. It was there, but they agreed upon the Ephesus thing to use the Theotokos. Excellent. It is good to have this kind of councils, as you mentioned. What's your name? Fedi? As Fedi mentioned, anything, the theology, the Christ, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, so we need to make sure that we have one opinion and one faith. And this is excellent for the church. On the other hand, we don't want anyone to take this opportunity to benefit politically. And unfortunately, this happened in the three councils. Malish, but at the end, we have the creed, which is important. 431, in 449, there is a council that called Ephesus II, 449. And from the west, they call this council the Stolen Council. What happened? There's a man called Eutychus. And this, anyone knows what Eutychus said? It is always against the, yani if we have an heresy, so the next one is against the previous one, and so on. So if Nestorius said that there is no the divine and the humanity of Jesus Christ, he said about this one. So we Eutychus will say something else. So what do you think he will say? No, still we are 449. So I'm coming to Chalcedon. So he said, no, it's only a divinity, no humanity. So this is what Eutychus said, and then I need to get back to my slide. We have always the heresies. We have a full God, a full human, and one person and two natures. And this all the heresies were about. So fully God was Nicaea, fully human was Constantinople, and the third council, Ephesus, was talking about the one person, and then the we are talking right now about the two natures. What happened that we had a pope or bishop in Rome called Leo the First, and he and other bishops, they decided, Eutychus, you are wrong, and then they excommunicated him. Good, because definitely it was a heresy. What happened in 449 Ephesus, we had a great pope from Alexandria called Pope Discourse. And then he went to Ephesus with a few hundred of bishops, and there Eutychus said, no, I'm sorry, yes, it was wrong, and I believe in the faith of Nicaea. So said, if this is the case, so why he was excommunicated? This is very important in the coming point. I repeat it. We are in Ephesus. The Second Council of Ephesus, 449, we have a person called Eutychus, and he said a heresy, and then the Western Pope at that time, so Pope Leo First, he excommunicated him. When they gathered the bishop with Pope Discourse, he was the head of the council, at 449, Eutychus came and said, no, I am okay with you, I believe in the creed and everything. So what will Pope Discourse will say? So he will say, you are no more excommunicated, and the bishops who excommunicated you will be excommunicated. So this is the 10th, what happened in 449. Just before the 451, what happened in 451? The Chalcedon. Chalcedon. So we are entering in 451. And we are talking tonight about Chalcedon for a few minutes because this was a milestone in the history of the church that we had a deviation, the second deviation. So in 451, 2 years ago, we had Ephesus II, and Ephesus II, Dioscorus, the Pope Dioscorus, excommunicated the Pope Leo I and the bishops because of Eutychus, and this was the tense in Chalcedon. So what happened in Chalcedon? Before 451, so we had Rome and the new Rome. What's the name of new Rome? The name of new Rome. We have Rome, you know, Rome in Italy. And we had a new Rome, which is Constantinople. And we have Alexandria. The fortune is coming from Alexandria. The fortune is coming from Alexandria. And also, some of the power is coming from Alexandria. And this was not pleasing to others politically. And how come Alexandria is the source of the corn, the source of the gold, the source of at that time, of many good things. So this is the political point of view about Chalcedon. First, there is a miscommunication happening because of Eutychus, and then they wanted to make sure that Alexandria and its pope will not be in the same level, and because they wanted politically to have a say on Alexandria and, I mean, Egypt and all the fortune of Egypt at that time, agriculture and so on. And then this is the what happened in Chalcedon. In Chalcedon, they didn't excommunicate Pope Dioscorus. And the questions, the official books in the history, they say that they were asking Pope Dioscorus about the corn and about why he's not supplying, Alexander is not supplying the rest of the emperor with the agriculture thing and everything, but there is no anything about theology. And then they said, no, you know, you excommunicated Eutychus and you agree you didn't excommunicate, you accepted him, so you accept what Eutychus said. Actually, before this 451, there was a local council in Egypt, and they excommunicated again the second time the Coptic, the Alexandrian and Pope Dioscorus, Eutychus, because he came back to his heresy. So the guy was playing with everyone. And then when this happened, he said, we as Alexandria, we excommunicated him. And we don't believe in what he's saying, and we only believe in what Ephesus first, Pope Cyril of Alexandria said. But again, because it was a political thing, they decided to isolate not only the Church of Alexandria, but some other church, the Armenian, the Ethiopian right now, and other church. And this is what we have, the Oriental, non-Oriental, the Chalcedon and non-Chalcedon. This is the story of Chalcedon. Maybe I am wrong. I have a document for you, for you to understand what happened. And this is what I mean by was it real or what you said? Legend is non, it's not accurate. Why? September 23, 1990. And we are in somewhere in Geneva. What's the place of the... Chambéry. Chambéry, Genève, 1990. And this is a meeting where 34 participants attended this meeting from Austria, Bulgaria, Cyprus, Czechoslovakia at that time, Egypt, Ethiopia, Finland, Greece, India, Lebanon, Poland, Switzerland, Syria, UK, USA, USSR, which is the Russian Church, and Georgian Church, and Armenian Church, Yugoslavia at that time, and this the 44 participants for all representing all the Orthodox Church. So as if 1990 represents which year in the history?
Help me, please.
It's very important. This is a very important question. 1990, having all the Orthodox together in one place. So this is Nicaea, Constantinople, Ephesus, Chalcedon. It's an easy one right now. Yes. So as if we are in Chalcedon right now, because these are the church at that time. So 1990, yeah, 20 years ago, well, 20-something years. Huh? Ma, the Catholic. I will tell you the story of the Catholic after this. But at least we have the Orthodox, because at that time there was a split between the two Orthodox, and then there was the split. We didn't have Catholic at that time. Yeah, 451. Did we have Catholic? We have the two churches. So these are the two parties that came together, because actually. The 1973 with the Catholic, they reached together, the non-Oriental, so our church, we reached together in statement of faith, the same faith, in concerning Jesus Christ. But still we have the Chalcedon thing, 451, this is an scare in the body of the church. So it was very important that all the Orthodox Church, they came together and say something about Chalcedon. And this is the original document, a copy of the original document, by the way. So 34 churches. So we are, which year we are in the history right now?
1990.
And this is equal to
451.
Which is Council of?
And Chalcedon.
Yes. So this is very important. What happened here in this meeting? I have the signature of everyone in this paper, by the way. It's nice. It's a nice document. So we have two families. Both families agree in condemning the Eutychian heresy. Both families confess that the Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity, only begotten of the Father before the ages and consubstantial with him, was incarnate and was born for the Virgin Mary Theotokos, and this is their faith, both together. Both families condemn the Nestorian heresy and another heresy called Crypto-Nestorianism of Theodoret of Cyprus. They agree that it is not sufficient merely to say that Christ is consubstantial, both with his Father and with us, by nature God and by nature man. It is necessary to affirm also that the Logos, who is by nature God, became by nature man by his incarnation in the fullness of time. So it's a theological debate, and they agree upon this one, both families. Both families agree that the hypostasis of the Logos became composed by uniting to his divine uncreated nature with its natural will and energy. Both families agreed that the natures with their proper energies and will. So this is, they explain more about the theology of the Logos. With the Fana, we have two Orthodox families, the Chalcedon and non-Chalcedon. So we have the group of the Coptic, Ethiopian, Armenian, India, Syria, Yeah, but we have Russia, so okay, yani. Anyways, we can yani. North and south, maybe north and south, mumkin. So I'm not talking about the West right now. We're talking about the Orthodox families. So there is no Orthodox in the West. So West, when we say East and West, this is the, what we call right now Catholic and Orthodox. So this is the big two families. And within, this is West and East. When we say the theology of the West and theology of the East, we are talking about the theology of Western, which is Catholic, and the theology of the Eastern, which is Orthodox. But why you are differentiating between the two families of the Orthodox? Because this was the scheme what happened in 451 in Chalcedon. So it's important. If we have unity in the East, this will help having unity everywhere. This is very important. The first step of the unity of the church is unity of the Orthodox families. So I'm not talking about the Catholic, as Freddy said. I'm talking right now only about the two families of the Orthodox. We have two Orthodox families. Yani, you were Sunday in the Antiochian church. So the Antiochian is one of yes.
Like south, east is like Eastern
Orthodox. Yep.
And then the west is Catholic.
Yes, exactly. So not to be confused. The Orthodox agreed that the Oriental Orthodox will continue to maintain the traditional Cyrillian terminology of one nature of the incarnate Logos. So what happened actually, they found, and this is between the Catholic and the Orthodox and everything. So we have the incarnation. Before the incarnation, if we have here the incarnation, before the incarnation, we have one or two natures. Before the incarnation. Huh? Can A, before incarnation, one nature, which is what? Before the incarnation, we had one or two. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. Sorry? About the Logos. Before the incarnation. Type. Khalina, after the incarnation. One? Yes. One out of two. We have the divine and before the incarnation. So we have the divine and the human nature. And then they became one without mingling, without confusion, without alteration. So if you are here, you will see what? One out of two. And if you are here, you will see what? Two united in one. And this is what happened of the miscommunication. Are you seeing from here or are you seeing from here? So that's why all of them, 1990, the two families, they agreed upon what St. Cyril said in Ephesus. And he explained well this side and this side. Yes, there was a miscommunication because the language was Greek and the other language was Latin and wording. We can understand this. We have a political thing. So saying and it was not accurate because simply in 1990, without both families to change anything in their faith, they both accept each other. They both accept each other. And they both accept the faith of each other without any one of them had to change anything in the faith because both of them, they had the same faith. Although since 451, and actually till date, there is no unity between both families, both of them, as per this document, both of them, they have the same faith. So, understanding the history of the church and what happened after all the signatures from the 34 participants, and this were all the Orthodox Church at that time. Unfortunately, after 1990, they had to get the approval of the local church. And then after 1990, we had a division between the countries. And right now, Russia and Ukraine, they are against politically. They are against each other. And some of the church in Greece, for example, like Mount Athos, they didn't agree on this one. But these are the theological brains of the church. The 34 participants, they send the creme de la creme of the theological brain. So it means when we have this document in 1990 that unfortunately what happened in Chalcedon was not accurate. Saying that there is a difference in faith, it's not accurate. Saying that we spent all the centuries, we are not together because we don't have the same faith is not accurate. And it is important for us to understand this because, yes, we are praying every day for the unity, and we need to understand that the unity should be based on a common faith. A unity should be based on common faith. And we thank God that we understand that we have a common faith between the two families of the Orthodox, so we can assume that safely we can come back at 451 together as one unit, and then the unity between the two families of the Orthodox and Catholic is easy to reach after this agreement. So my aim today, my beloved, this night, I wanted to explain the history of the church for you to understand a bit about what happened. And to understand that the councils were very extremely important for us to have a faith that we believe in, and a formula to use. We need to have something to communicate our faith accordingly. And it's very important to understand this faith and to be proud of this faith. And it's also important to understand that there are other circumstances around the councils that happened, and we cannot ignore till date that the political issue is an important thing about the unity of the church. So when we pray about the unity of the church, we pray putting in our minds that we are looking for the one faith of the fathers. We cannot ignore the faith of the fathers. Can we ignore the Easter time? Easter time or Christmas time, we can ignore this. We can accept differences. We can accept that there are many calculations in Easter, for example. No problem. But we cannot accept people that do not believe in the faith of the fathers. And that's why the apostolic church, so the Catholic and the Orthodox church, they are apostolic church, and they are based on the apostles, and they are based on solid ground. And although we have between the Orthodox and the Catholic some few differences, but the core of the faith is the same, and this is very important. So the aim today for you is to shed a light on the Chalcedon, because for us Chalcedon was a big question mark, and till now, in some Orthodox Church, they curse Messen and Pope discourse because they think he belongs to Eutychus and the heresy of Eutychus. And unfortunately, everyone needs to get back to this document. And it's not a Coptic document, by the way. It's an international one. It belongs to all the 34 Church, and to understand the faith. And to understand that really we do have the same faith. And it's good for us to understand this, to elaborate on this, to pray for this, and accordingly to understand the church, the history of the church as a real facts happened, and also some political things that disturbed the reality of the history of the church. I'm done. Any questions? طب ميه اي حاجه ها I hope the message was clear enough. Is the message clear? Can I ask some questions? No. So it's not clear 100%. Do you need any question, any thoughts, anything you would like to ask? No? Nothing? Easy one or hard one?
If you go to a church that's after this council in 1990 took place, doesn't that mean that if we go...
It's not a council. Oh. This is a meeting between all the church, the Orthodox Church, the theological people of the church, the creme de la creme, the brain of the church. So after this one, it should go to the councils of the different churches to agree upon. And this is didn't happen yet.
Okay, so at this point, we know that we're on theology, we're...
Yeah, sorry for this.
No worries. So we know, like, on theology and dogma, we're all identical. All the Orthodox churches are identical. But what's stopping someone who's Coptic, who lives in Russia, from taking communion in a Russian Orthodox church?
So the question is what, again?
Is there an official meeting that needs to take place for there to be more unity?
There are some logistics. So it is good for us to understand that we have the same faith. This is very important. This is a very important question. So there are some logistics. Within this meeting, they agreed that if two bishops in one city, they agree to have communion together, they don't mind. But officially, the head of the church didn't agree yet on the unity. What we are doing right now in the Coptic Orthodox Church, because baptism is based on faith. So we have one faith. So we don't rebaptize any Orthodox member. Moreover, we accept them in a communion because we recently don't see any reason why they should not be accepted in the communion of the church. Maybe we anoint them with the Mairun as a sign of acceptance, but we 100% agree upon their sacraments. Moreover, for the Catholic Church, I'm not sure about Abuna Maros. For the Catholic Church, we do not rebaptize them. Or صح كده ولا ايه؟ لسه هنا فيها مشكلة يعني؟ فيها مشكلة؟ طب خلاص خلينا في الأرثوذكس. Sorry. يعني you are خلاص. So in the even the Catholic because we have. لا ما أنا أصلي. طيب. So even the Catholic, because we have the same faith, so we don't rebaptize them. And as Abuna mentioned, the Mairun, the sign of, we have discussion with His Holiness when he was in September, the sign of acceptance. The Mairun is the sign of acceptance. I accept them in the church. So the things are as for marriage. No, I'm not talking about marriage right now between the different church, okay? I'm talking about the communion, which is the partaking from the Holy Eucharist and be member of the church. I have to look at marriage. But this is not the case right now. So yes, back to your question. This is what actually we are doing in the Coptic Orthodox Church. But if you go to Greece, for example, sometimes in some of the churches, especially in Mount Athos, you are not even allowed to enter the church. For us, for during the visit of, I'm not sure it was Pope Francis or who, it's a recent pope. They allowed him after Yanni to pray Our Father in one of the church in Greece. Our Father. So it's, you see, there are different mentalities, and there are good mentalities. Everyone is appreciated. Everyone is coming from a good background, and and we appreciate everything. But when we study, we learn. And when we learn, we need to change. But the change cannot come in a year or two. It needs to take some time. And most of all, it needs prayers. So this is, I hope this answers your question, yeah. Any questions? Thank you so much.